Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride, and you are listening to the music of Yahtzeen. Yahtzeen was one of the headliners at the Ok Rock Music Festival back in November, and Kachung, also known as Stephen Blanchett, has lined him up to perform at the Ok Rock Side Stage, an event that's being incorporated into this year's celebration, and is also a fundraiser for next year's Ok Rock Festival. Let me count the ways. Chance to talk with Kachung a few days ago about this week's fundraiser, but I also asked him if the Ok Rock Festival has had an impact on up-and-coming artists like Yahtzeen.
One thing is that this will help any artist that's going to be in this, because there's going to be a lot of visibility. He really gets connected to the community that he's from. There's not that many opportunities because of the lack of music venues in Juneau that we get a chance to really see a phenomenal performer, especially local regional performer like Yahtzeen performing. So this benefit is for all of us, for everyone, for him, for the community, and for those that were watching online.
The way Ok Rock works is that it's supposed to happen every other year, on the off year, a celebration. But why is it that you want to have a presence during celebration?
Celebration is just so iconic, right? It's been going on for so long. And so I feel like we want to keep that momentum of Ok Rock going. And one of the things that we thought about as a group, as a committee, we have a working committee that just kind of volunteers and helps out with shaping and curating the festival, is one of the things that we were discussing was like how this could be an opportunity for us to be announcing the dates for the next Ok Rock. And if possible, maybe some of the headliners that we have signed. So well, that'd be fun. Celebration is so vibrant with the traditional dancing, and there's other things that happen along with it. So one of the things that hasn't really happened was a big music presence to it. So we were like, well, let's do a smaller side stage of Ok Rock. And that was one of the ideas that we came up with. And then to announce the next dates for the official Ok Rock Festival.
You know, when people think of celebration, they just kind of automatically think, okay, every other year. I mean, COVID sort of disrupted things, but in general, people have it in their biological calendar that celebration happens every other year. And I imagine that your hope is to get Ok Rock to that point.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the goal. When you think of Juno, you think of just several things, right? You think of celebration for sure, but we want that also to be like Ok Rock is like, oh yeah, there's that amazing Indigenous festival that happens every other year, odd years of celebration. So that just becomes a natural thing. So we want to showcase the beautiful artistry of these Indigenous musicians, but also to gain a footing and like a foundation with our community here in Juneau, so that we have folks that just stand behind it and uplift this festival. And so this is, you know, not just a fundraiser, it's like a friendraiser as well, just to get that support from our community. It already happened back in November, the first inaugural Ok Rock. The community came out huge. It blew my mind. And I completely did not expect it to be coming out in that force with the community. Seeing that happen to me was just like a dream come true. To have the support from community as it happened for a virtual festival, I was just like dreaming up, like, what could that look like if everyone's in person, and what kind of support would that look like in our community? And so that's one part of this event that we're doing, and especially during celebration, of celebrating the beautiful cultures of the Southeast region, and to be able to showcase a lot of our local artists, but then bringing in some national, international acts as well.
Earlier in this program, we talked with Rosita Worrell, and she has this vision of turning Juno, Tlingit-Ani, the Akwan, into a Northwest Coast capital for the arts. So does Ok Rock, with its young contemporary native artists, fit into that vision?
Without a doubt, I feel like it goes hand in hand, and they're in tandem together. That dream of Rosita of creating the Northwest Capital on art, this is just one part of it. Music is such a beautiful artistry, and we will always uplift the artists from this area. There's so many, and we haven't even really tapped the resources that there is in this region. We started announcing the festival last year. We were getting emails and calls from other artists from communities around the region, like, hey, there's this festival going on. Unfortunately, like, we were already set with our artists at that time, but I was just like, okay, let me get your name, number, contact, and all that kind of stuff. So already that list of the beautiful artists around here grew, automatically thinking, yes, when we do the next one, they're definitely here. It will be part of the fabric of the festival, is to really uplift the artists in the region. And then also our goal is to have a representation from each of the major cultures in Alaska. There's Unangak, there's Yupik, Inupiaq, Athabaskan. We have artists from each region of Alaska come in and represent. So that's one of the missions and goals as well as for the festival.
You mentioned earlier that you knew that you had quite a bit of local support. How about from the rest of the country? Well, what kind of viewership did you get for your first virtual festival?
That was really cool. I mean, that's the thing about the technology that's out there. We can gather all of that data. And so one, we had ticket sales, and so we could tell exactly where those ticket sales were coming from. And so we had viewers from all around the States. It was really cool. All through Canada, in Greenland, over in Europe, we had viewers signing in and buying tickets. So it was really exciting to see the kind of the silver lining, because we wouldn't have been able to really get that reach if it wasn't for the fact that we had to do it virtually. And so we were able to gather that data. So I think in the future, we have kind of ammunition to give us to where we can, like, market. Where are we going to market? Where are we going to get that reach of Ok Rock? You know, we want this to be one of those festivals like Lollapalooza or big, huge festivals that bring in people from around the world, and they plan their year around this festival. So that's kind of a dream. Folks around the world that want to, like, come check out world-class indigenous musicians and artists every other year, and they plan it. They plan their year or their 2 years around this event, and maybe want to take a trip to Alaska and especially beautiful Juneau.
So, I know the festival is young. You just had your first one. Any ripple effects from that festival so far for the performers? Did it result in more engagements for them?
Oh, 100%. The coolest thing was we had witty young men, a beautiful artist we flew in from Anchorage, and she's King Island Inupiaq. So the following week, I had a phone call from a festival that wanted to get Witty's contact information because they wanted to get her at a festival that was happening, like, I think it was about 2 weeks later. And she traveled over and performed at that festival. So that exposure, and this is her first festival. This is like her first time really getting up onto that kind of a platform. And it worked. That there is one of the missions that we're going after. Getting all these amazing photographs of the artists. We captured the artists on stage. We have these beautiful videos that we have. So we'll be doing that every time. And those are assets that they can use to promote themselves and their careers. So we're providing that for them. So that's one of the, like, basis in the missions that we're doing, because it's not just about, like, getting these artists and musicians together and performing for the community here. It's about really launching their careers and getting them exposure so that they can keep playing in venues and festivals around the world.
When they talk about reviving native culture and preserving it, there is also an interest in making it relevant and showing that the culture is not like locked in the past, but also has a foot in the future. So, do you think that Ok Rock could play a role with that?
Without a doubt, I think these artists that are on there, artists like, you know, Air Jazz, local artist, just uplifting his language and putting it into hip hop, right? That's, I mean, bringing it at that platform and that stage and connecting with youth. And I mean, not just youth, I mean, connecting with everybody. I think Rosita Worrell said it really well when she introduced AJ, and he was our very first performer for the festival. And she mentioned that he is a model of like showing how the relevance of the Thinkit language is and of the Thinkit culture, that we're moving on into the future and really connecting the culture in ways beyond just the singing and dancing or the carving of masks and totem poles. It's really bringing to life the culture in a different light, in a different way that connects other people to it. So that maybe there'll be the hook to connect them to the other art forms. So, you know, it's really exciting. It is, you know, in my band in Bumiwa, that's one of the reasons why we started it as well. You know, we wanted to sing our songs in our Yupik language and to show how proud we are of our culture and of our people and of our community, and that we can do it in our own narrative and in our own way of artistry. So that's, and I think those are the type of artists that we are connecting with. We had Superman, we had Purafe, we had Snotty Nose Rez Kids. I feel like Indigenous artists are like those ultimate crossover artists.
So how can we partake at Celebration? Do you have some performances lined up on your side stage?
Yeah, we have 4 nights of amazing music, and we're playing and showcasing the music at Juno's newest music venue, which is a gorgeous venue. It's so beautiful. And I'm so excited that this new venue is there, right? It has a really amazing, legit stage. We're starting on June 8th, kicking off Akrock Side Stage at the Crystal Saloon. You know, we have Albino B.A., who just was so amazing, and Air Jazz, Yatsine, Sunny Porch, Daniel Furman, Garden of Agony, and Mark Brown. And so we're giving these artists a chance to have people watching them in person. So most of these artists were at the original Ock Rock back in November, but just didn't have an audience in person. So now we got people cheering them on. The Crystal Saloon is just a phenomenal venue, and I hope people come out and support music, because they're playing music there like every week. And so we're excited to be a part of it, and I hope that they become a partner for a long, long time.
You said that this is a fundraiser, but how important is the fundraising component of this as well?
Huge, huge. We're very, very transparent about how much this festival costs to put together and put on. We give real costs. So we do our due diligence from the get-go. We have an amazing team of folks and partners that come together to make this happen. The Jack, Thinkit and Haida, Gold Belt, I mean, Sea Alaska, they all came in big time with support for this. But the main partners that really come together and make this happen, we're looking at the budget and like the cost of airline tickets, the cost of the tech, of the sound, of the stage, of the artists. And you know, we put that on the website. We were very clear. If you look at the ockrockfest.com, you can see exactly what the costs were for us. And so it is so important for us to be able to get that support from the community to make this happen. And we also want to make it accessible, right? We don't want to create barriers. I've played in festivals where they're hundreds of dollars. For me, music has become this elitist thing, especially festivals, where regular folk can't really afford that. And so I've been not going to festivals because of the cost many times. And so we make this accessible. We say, this is the real cost of what it costs to come to this festival for the tickets, but we want you to be here. So pay what you can is what we do. When we had the virtual festival, we had some people buy that virtual ticket for $5. Some people paid $500, but we want people to be there. So that's what we're doing from here on out. That's what Ock Rock will be. It will be a festival that is accessible to the community and to people. So if it's only $5 that you can pay to come in, that's what it will be. That's the cost. If you can cover the whole cost, that's awesome. And if you can do more, that's beautiful. We have at least two performers each night. So the first night, we have myself and an albino BA. And then the second night, we have Air Jazz and Yatsin. And then we have Sunny Porch and Garden of Agony the third night. And then Daniel Furman, Mark Brown. And Mark Brown's playing on Friday and Saturday. But if you look at the Awk Rock Fest, and that's AAKW rockfest.com, you can get the breakdown of the schedule, performers and the times and all of that. So the Crystal Saloon is not a huge place. It's going to fill up quite quickly. And I'd definitely recommend folks to purchase those tickets online and to make sure you can get into the door. And so, you know, I anticipate like there's going to be a lot of people here for celebration. And this is another opportunity for them going from the dancing over at the Centennial and then they make their way over to Awk Rock and watch some amazing musicians. I'm so excited for Mark Brown to be here. You know, he has one of my favorite songs, Indian Rock and Roll, which is one of those iconic songs and that brings everybody onto the dance floor. And so, and I think there isn't an Alaska Native person in this state that does not know Indian Rock and Roll.
Well, it sounds kind of fitting for celebration. And it sounds like you're trying to tie a new tradition to a long established one.
Well, we just want to give people the opportunity to experience all kinds of indigenous artistry. My first celebration I went to, I was just blown away, especially that grand entry, watching people come in on the grand entry. And then going around to the vendors and seeing all the beautiful artwork people sharing and selling. And, you know, me spending so much money. But one of the things is like that I was missing was the music part. And so I think that we're just giving another opportunity, another chance for people to just be able to celebrate together and celebrate the arts and celebrate their indigenous arts. So if this happens, you know, Awk Rock will be happening every year. Just the side stage will just be a little smaller scale than our full-on festival with 30 acts. And this year for side stage, we have 7 acts. And that was like pretty intentional. That number 7 in indigenous cultures is a really powerful number. You know, 7th generations, the imagery around that number 7 is very foundational to a lot of cultures. So that's what we have is our 7 artists and 7 acts for this side stage.
All right. Well, we have been talking with Ka-Chung, also known as Stephen Blanchett, a performer and also on the staff of Lincoln and Haida, one of the sponsors of the Awk Rock side stage. Stephen, it's always fun to talk with you. And I get to say our favorite word.
I love it.
Guyana Chish.
Yes, Guyana Chish. Thank you so much, Rhonda.
All righty. Okay, I'll let you in on a little inside joke that I have with Ka-Chung, who is Yupik, now living in Hlinkin-Ani. So when you combine the Yupik word for thank you, Guyana, with the Hlinkit word for thank you, Gunachish, you get Guyana Chish.